You're listening to Vatican Radio.
Peace talks underway in Geneva are offering a glimmer of hope to the people of Syria, who on March the 15th look back on exactly 5 years of death and destruction caused by the indescribable violence of war, which has killed more than 250,000 people. Western officials are cautiously welcoming the reduction of Russian forces in Syria, saying it could pressure the government to engage in talks. Meanwhile, 5 years on, conflict is a grim milestone to mark, but a necessary reminder and wake-up call as millions of ordinary Syrian people struggle to see the light at the end of a dark tunnel during which they have lost loved ones, homes, jobs, schools, and the very semblance of a future. I spoke to a Syrian economist and civil rights activist who has been watching the tragedy unfold in his nation while providing civil society support and organisation as well as capacity development from a base in Turkey. He is Asad Alachi, the executive director of a Syrian civil society organisation called Baitna Syria, currently based in Gaziantep. Asad points out that, in fact, March the 15 marks the start of the uprising, not the war.
Well, today marks the 50th year of the start of the uprising and not the war. So the uprising and the peaceful demands and the peaceful protests that the Syrian people took out the streets for, obviously that very quickly descended into a full-fledged war because of the violence used and exercised by the regime. 5 years on, I think it's heartwarming to see that the people are resilient. The people still want their same demands with a minimum reduction of violence. We saw the people back on the street demonstrating, asking for the same things they were asking for back in 2011. So overall, what we can say is, yes, there is hope. Hope is back. The Russians withdrawing from Syria is something that really no one, I personally cannot fully understand yet. We'll need some time to understand exactly what's happening. Any reduction in violence, by definition, is good. Any reduction in hostilities is, by definition, good. But I think it's too early to say what's behind the decision of the Russians to reduce their presence in Syria.
But it's also been such a long time. It seems that the West and the permanent UN security members have taken so long to actually get down to peace talks. Why has it taken so long, do you think?
Because of competing interests between different members of the Security Council, namely the United States and the Russian Federation. Competing interests over the Middle East, but not only over the Middle East, over the situation in Ukraine, over the NATO ambitions to expand towards the East, etc., 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 etc. So it became the situation in Syria turned very quickly into a proxy war where international affairs were being resolved. I mean, a lot of people cynically say that we had a third world war in one country.
It seems that the West tends to be almost anesthetized against the suffering of ordinary people. As a Syrian and as an activist, how do you view this attitude of ordinary people in Western countries? Do you think that Syria has been abandoned by us?
Abandonment, disinterest, I would go as far as saying even some of the Syrians feel betrayed by the lack of solidarity from the international community. When Rwanda happened, we all said never again. And now Syria happened and everybody says, well, what happened to never again? The latest estimate that was published in the New York Times speaks of about 470,000 people killed in the past 5 years. About 95% of those people, according to the Syrian Network for Human Rights, were killed by the regime. So when we have a regime that is that murderous, that barbaric, and nothing is being done to hold it and to keep it at bay, the regime enjoys impunity. And that has been the major issue in Syria over the past 5 years. The regime enjoyed a lot of impunity. So did everyone else after that. And this led only to this inferno and escalation of violence because no one was held responsible to their commitments, especially when we speak of a government that is supposedly a member of the United Nations and that has to abide by the international humanitarian law. The regime has basically flaunted IHL. IHL has proved to be absolutely useless facing such a regime. And that's all because of the paralysis within the Security Council.
This goes completely against the grain of the founding idea of the UN and of the Security Council. It seems to take away legitimacy from it and from us as Europeans.
That's absolutely right. What the crisis in Syria, the current crisis in Syria, is teaching us is that we need to revise the whole world system. The whole system within the United Nations has failed to respond to this major catastrophe. It failed to respond because it's held within the hands of five countries with the right of veto. And the whole right of veto needs to be questioned again and seen if it's reasonable that a country, i.e. Russia, can block UN Security Council resolutions, block UN action because of self-interest.
Assad, what are your hopes for the near future?
I have many hopes, right? But for the near future, my first hope is for cessation processes to continue. This reduction of violence has been good. The people inside Syria are happy that they don't have to face the barrel bombs and the missiles and the cluster bombs that were thrown at them en masse by the Russian Air Force and by the Assad Air Force. So this reduction in violence is good, and my hope is for the cessation of hostilities to continue. That's number one. My second hope is for humanitarian aid to reach all areas, and I mean definitely the besieged areas, whether we're talking about Maad Damia or we're talking about Daraya. If we do not act quickly, and I mean very quickly, we're going to see the same horrific images that we saw coming out of Madaya 2 months ago. The situation in Daraya is as bad as it was in Madaya in October or September 2015. So my hope is for UN OCHA to come to its wit quickly and act, because if they don't, then we're going to have another Madaya.
Yes, let's just remind listeners that means the people there have nothing, absolutely nothing. Water, food, health care.
Yep, nothing, absolutely nothing. That is completely besieged by regime forces and by Hezbollah. Nothing is being allowed in and out. They have no access to health facilities. Most of their health facilities, if not all of them, inside the city were completely destroyed by the Assad Air Force. Food is very, very, very scarce. Prices are off the roof, as you can imagine. And the only way to bring in food into Daraya now is to buy off those Hezbollah checkpoints and buy off the Assad regime checkpoints. So it's costing a lot of money, and it's fueling indirectly the war. So we're basically, to help people, we're making other people kill.
You are Syrian, you're in Turkey. Do you hope to go home one day?
Absolutely. I'm waiting for that day to go back. Before being in Turkey, I was living in Scotland, working out of Aberdeen. I had no reason really to be here except that I want to go back home. And I'm waiting for the day where the situation eases a bit on the border, just to move all the work that we do out of Gaziantep into Syria.
That was Syrian economist and civil rights activist Assad Al-Achi, executive director of the Syrian civil society organization Baitna Syria.